This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
It's a big night tonight as the vice presidential debate happens. The president says he's done negotiating with Democrats. Does it help or hurt to not have COVID relief? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Cioli. And it is me, Rich, with you today and back with you tonight at 8 o'clock. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I am glad you were here. The president yesterday, by the way, authorized the declassification of all Russia collusion and Hillary Clinton email probe documents. He said he has fully authorized the total declassification of any and all documents related to the Russia investigation and the FBI's investigation into former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server. He says, I have fully authorized this, and he wants no redactions, he tweeted out Tuesday night as he's on steroids. Now, I'm going to play you in just a couple minutes. A whole lot of crazy people on CNN doing what they do, which is to be crazy. And in that craziness, they talk a lot about how the president should be relieved from office because of the 25th Amendment. But first, Dawn's got some headlines for us. Good morning, Dawn.
Yes, good morning. 58 degrees, the Cioli Show News Live. Remember Seth Williams, Philadelphia's former top prosecutor? He is now free from house arrest after serving 3 years of a 5-year prison sentence from back in 2017. Remember, he was convicted of accepting a bribe. Seth Williams, now a free man. New charges for Patricia and Mark McCloskey. Remember the St. Louis couple? They actually spoke at the RNC after they were waving their guns on the porch of their home as protesters marched through a broken iron gate. Now a grand jury delivers new charges, including exhibiting a weapon. They face new charges. Going viral tributes to rock and roll legend Eddie Van Halen, who died of cancer at 65. The iconic guitarist began as a backyard party band. The NBC 10 First Alert forecast today, it's going to feel like summer, 78 degrees, very breezy. And tomorrow, those breezes are going to blow in cooler weather, 66 degrees, but still very sunny. That's the Cioli Show News headlines. I'm Dawn, always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate it. So the idea, of course, of COVID relief, and yesterday the president said we're done, no more COVID relief, it is done. And here is the key, right? Here's the thing. The Democrats are saying now with COVID relief, they don't want to give the president what he wants. And I think the reason for that is they don't want to give him a win this close to the election. The president said yesterday he's done negotiating, but he will sign direct bills. In other words, if you don't give him a gigantic behemoth of a package of bills, he'll sign it. All right. Now, here's my question. What politically is better? What's politically smart? And leave out the, you know, people need to feed their kids. I'm not trying to make this an emotional thing. I'm just simply asking what's better politics? Because if on the one hand, if you get COVID relief done, you know, the market might be secure, the finances of the country, everybody might look at that and go, OK, you know what? Listen, this is good. On the other hand, if you don't, a lot of people who are hurting out there are going to be angry. Now, conventional wisdom says they're angry at Trump because he doesn't get the bills signed. He doesn't sign anything. But what if they're angry because of these lockdowns? What if they're angry because their business was taken away because of lockdowns? Now, again, conventional wisdom says they're angry at him because they think he didn't do enough to prevent COVID-19 from becoming a thing. But what if that's not the case? What if they think, well, virus is a virus. It is what it is. And I'm angry at these governors who shut me down, who locked me down. I'm angry at Wolf. I'm angry at Kenny. I'm angry at Murphy. I'm angry. In other words, all of this is going to play out on election day. And how this plays out and the different movements on the chessboard are amazing to me. But I don't know if it's necessarily that easy to just turn around and dismiss the idea that no COVID relief is a political disaster. I'm not so sure I agree with that. Now, it may be the right thing to do. It may be what people need to survive and live. And all. But just politically speaking, the conventional wisdom again today, everywhere around, is, whoa, Trump's out of his mind. For example, Nate Silver at 538, has Trump just blown his biggest advantage, which is the economy? You go back to the polls, you look at the polls, polls say top issue for everybody is what? The economy, right? Did Trump just blow that by saying he won't have a COVID relief package? And are the Democrats, because they think that they've got him, will they then not give him anything? As they said, oh, no, no, you said you're not going to negotiate, so we're not giving you anything now. And then in that case, then, do they think that they're hurting him because election day is coming, there's going to be a lot of angry people who are coming out to vote, and they're going to be angry at him, the Democrats think. But what if it's not the case? What if the people are angry, but they're not angry at him, and they're not angry at in fact, they're not getting a short-term check. They're angry because long-term, they're hurting. And they're angry at that because now they think to themselves, you know, if I had not been forced to shut down while big box stores were allowed to open, if I didn't have to lose my job because of that, then I'd be okay. I wouldn't even need a check right now from Washington. In the presidential landscape of things, how much is that on top of mind of voters? If you give them a short-term check, do they feel the sense of I'm not as angry anymore, therefore I don't really think about my anger towards the lockdowns? You can make that argument. Say, you know what? While it may be the kind thing to do to give people money, politically speaking, it may actually not help the president because they may have less incentive to come out and vote. If they don't get a check, then maybe they're really angry. They're fired up. They want to come out. They're going to vote, and they're going to say, the hell with you, Democrats, for wanting to lock me down again more. I'm tired of this. This can't stand. I wonder that, you know, because you have a contrast on the national level. You know this and I know this. On the one hand, you've got Joe Biden saying that if things get out of control, he will shut it down again. On the other hand, you have Donald Trump who says we will not be shut down again. Don't be afraid of COVID. We'll treat it. We'll fight it. Be careful. We have medicines. We're going to get a vaccine. But don't be afraid of it. Don't let it lock down our country again. I just think about the guy who's expecting that $600 check. Or the $1,200 check. Is his anger, if he doesn't get it, directed at Trump, or is it directed at the Democrats who forced him to lock down and lose his business? The politics of COVID stimulus money. And again, I'm not getting into should we be spending money. I'm not getting into is it the right thing to do. I'm leaving that out of it for this conversation. I'm purely looking at the political ramifications of it. As heartless as that may sound to you. A lot of us know government money doesn't solve the problem long term, right? It's the old, you know, feed a man a fish versus give him a fish. Are these people that angry that they're not going to get their fish and they're going to take it out on the president, or they're going to be angry because they can't go fishing anymore and take it out on the governors and the party that would lock them down again? I mean, I don't know. Who knows, right? I don't know. But Trump's a savvy guy, even when he's having a Twitter roid rage. So maybe he's sitting there thinking just that. Maybe he's thinking, if I pass a big, giant, gargantuan bill, people are going to be less upset by what the Democrats are doing, shutting down this country. If I keep giving them money, if I keep giving them short-term money, I'm not solving the problem, right? I mean, that used to be a conservative position that we would take. We would take that position, and we'd be called heartless and cruel by the media and by the left, but we would take that position, right? We're not going to be just handing out money anymore. We have to fix the problem of unemployment. We can't just keep giving out welfare. We've got to fix the problem of why people are on welfare. That was at time a conservative principle. It was a Reagan principle. It was called mean. He doesn't care about people, wants kids to starve to death, blah, blah, blah. Could Trump be thinking that? You know, if I sign this massive COVID spending package and people get their checks, they're not going to stop. Turn around and go, you know what? Stop shutting me down already. It's like the debate we had when the homestead tax rebate, the property tax rebate, was going to be capped at $10,000. Remember that? And so states like New Jersey, where you pay ridiculous property taxes, unless you are a fake farmer, like Bruce Springsteen or John Bon Jovi, you pay ridiculous property taxes, and then you used to be able to write that off on your federal income taxes. The Republicans got away with that, and a lot of people were very upset by that. But the argument was, look, if you keep writing it off, you don't really feel the pain of these high property taxes, right? If you have to pay them, you feel the pain. Suddenly now, maybe you want some change. Suddenly now, maybe you realize that you got to do something about the situation as opposed to just sticking your head in the sand. You know, in some cases, that may also be what's playing out here. And the Democrats, because they are the most politically stupid party in the history of all time lately, it seems, they're so dumb, they may think to themselves, oh, we got him. Oh, we got him. You'll see. He's not going to be able to do anything. We're not going to pass COVID relief. We're going to make him look like a meanie pants. And everybody's going to go out to the polls and vote for Democrats because we'll give them all this money. Maybe. Maybe. But do people really want government checks? The business owners want government checks, or they want their business open again? Do restaurateurs want handouts, or they want to be able to have their restaurant open again? What do you think people really want? And again, this comes into the fundamental question of what I think a conservative mind versus a liberal mind in terms of how they view these things. As a conservative or a libertarian, I think people don't want a check. They want to have their restaurant open again. They want to have their job back. There's a sense of accomplishment when you go to work. If you've ever seen the movie Dave, because maybe you have the same theory that I do, that this isn't really President Trump. It's a lookalike, like in the movie Dave. And there's a great speech that he gives about giving everybody a job. And he says this whole speech in front of Congress about, have you ever seen that look in somebody's eye when they finally get a job? That feeling of pride that comes with it. I don't think people want handouts. I think people want to go back to work. And so now the question is, do I go with Democrats who are going to keep giving me money, keep locking me down, or do I go with the Republicans who are going to at least keep this economy open? I think you've got a real contrast there. And it's easy, again, it's easy just to look at the top line of something and just go up. Trump shut off COVID talks. Stock market is angry. The Fed chairman's warning of economic collapse. Trump just blew his economic advantage. It's easy to look at it that way. And I'll admit to you, at first, I did the same thing. I look at it that way and I went, oh, that sounds politically stupid. But then the more I thought about it, the more I realized that maybe not. You know, maybe not. I mean, you get to do two things. One, you can blame the Democrats because you can say, all they want to do is just give me this big bloated bill. And two, you can remind people, but if I get elected, you're not going to have to worry about getting stimulus checks over and over again because I'm going to keep this country open. I'm going to open this country. I'm going to keep it open. But they're going to lock it down again, and you're going to need even more stimulus, and you're going to need more stimulus, and you're going to need more stimulus. And what do you want? What do you want for your country? So you definitely have a strong contrast there, no doubt. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Penny is in Delaware. Penny, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, my feeling is that a lot of people believe that they're waiting for the election in order to open the country. A lot of the governors of the, you know, the liberal states, and that's what's really hurting people. So if you give just one more check, the people will be so grateful. It'll be like, you know, taking the thorn out of the lion's paw, and they will be grateful to Trump, and they'll know that it was the Democrats that would not allow anything to go through, that he's like more like the savior. I think people...
Well, Democrats will allow it to go through because they'll vote on it, so...
But what I mean is, I think that those conservatives who are maybe discouraged because their jobs and their businesses are down and out might say, hey, he really tries to help us. Let's go and vote for him, you know, because the Democrats aren't doing anything for us.
Well, the Democrats will do something. They'll pass COVID relief that he'll sign.
Well, that's if they win, but...
No. You know, I'm saying if tomorrow or today they pass a COVID relief package, the Democrats are certainly going to take credit for that, right? He signs it into law, they're going to run around and say, look what we did. We're Democrats. We just gave you all this money.
Well, I'm talking about giving another one-time check, not a relief package that includes...
No, I know, Penny, but I think you have to realize something. Trump doesn't just send out money on his own. The Congress has to pass it first, right?
Well, he did approve a $600 check to everyone, didn't he? On his own, like an executive order.
So you think he should do that?
Just one more time.
Okay.
And then we don't have to... to all of these awful things that they put in the package. You know.
All right, Penny, I admit I don't know if he can, but thank you for the call. It's certainly a good idea. I don't know legally if he has the mechanics to do that this time around. I don't know. Greg's in Chestnut Hill. Greg, good morning.
Hello, Rich. Good morning. I think this is Trump not being a politician, and I think this is the new Republicans and the Trump chance that everybody can get on board or go back to the swamp area, because Trump never played by the rules. That's why he was hated.
But who does
it
help, though? Who does it help or hurt if there's no COVID relief?
It helps Donald Trump. It helps Donald Trump because he's not in on their game. And what I was thinking was, he doesn't care what people think. He doesn't care what they say. He doesn't care. He has great instinct for someone who's never been in a political forum. So I believe it. I believe it helps Donald Trump if he doesn't give in. He's going to take it on the chin. Of course, you're going to hear it from MSNBCs and CNNs. But anybody who's watching them is voting the other way anyway. I think it's
no. I watch them, so I know. Hang on. I watch them, so I know what they're saying. Just for the record,
right? And that's what I do anytime, because I drive a lot. I listen to them more than I listen to the people I believe with. Because you have to know who your enemy is. And if you don't understand them, you're not going to be able to come in that angle.
I agree. I also find it very entertaining. I do, because they're just so over the top. It's like a show. I swear, sometimes I feel like I'm watching a sitcom. You know what I mean? I really do sometimes when I watch these people.
I tell people all the time, I said, if you really want to get in tune with things, listen. Get in your car. Don't even watch their faces, because it's hard to look at them.
Yeah.
Listen, get in your car, put it on the radio, listen to it, and then when you hear them, the next person is meaner than the next person. And I'm like, wait a minute. I get out of the car, I'm depressed, and I'm ready to jump over the bridge I just crossed. And I'm like, wait a minute. This is crazy. But you do know where you stand in life, and you say, boy, I'm thank God I am not living their life.
Greg, thank you, buddy. You're so right. I did that yesterday. I turned on CNN as I was cleaning the garage just to listen to it, and I heard this wacky segment with Wolf Blitzer and Carl Bernstein, so I sent it to Stockard. I was like, you got to get this audio for me. This is insane. I wouldn't know that if I didn't do that. You know what I mean? And I turned on Fox News for a few minutes, and it's Dana Perino, who I love, and she's just rational and reasonable, and I needed the craziness, so I put back on CNN.
And Lawrence O'Donnell.
And then Crazy Larry was on. You know, I was asleep by then, but he had some nutty things to say, too, which I got on my cut sheet. The big story, of course, is what is going to happen with the vice presidential debate tonight. It is brought to you by Wawa. Wawa. Go take a look at Wawa and see what they got. Yeah, great stuff. You know, I'm a big fan of Wawa. I love the fact that it's local. And fall is here. Wawa's got you covered with the coffee you crave as well. So get some of that delicious fall brew. Order ahead with the Wawa app. Any size coffee for $1 or fresh brewed iced coffee for $2. Got to have a Wawa. So who do you think it helps or who do you think it hurts if there's no COVID relief between now and Election Day? What do you think? 855-839-1210. Listen, it's happened to us at some point, right? We've lost our car keys, lost the key fob. What do you do when that happens? Well, you do what so many people have done. You call McCausland Lock Service. Tom, Chrissy, the entire team are the experts you need to repair, replace, reprogram original factory remotes, transponder keys, chip keys, and more. In addition to major makes, they're now able to program various BMW, Mercedes, VW, and Audi vehicles. They can help you while you wait. And the best part is they charge up to 50% below what you'd pay at a dealer sometimes. Go see McCausland Lock Service. They are right over on Route 420 in Prospect Park, PA. In the last 100 years, as they became the largest locksmith in the Delaware Valley, they also managed to keep that small business feel that makes their service residential, business, commercial, whatever you need for locksmith services so personal. And don't forget, when it comes to those chip keys and those remotes and transponder keys, they'll replace them while you wait. 610-430-1500, 610-430-1500, McCausland Lock Service.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of nonstop talk. The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Okay, let's see. 855-839-1210. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? Okay, First of all, I want to mention to you as well that with regards to the debate tonight, I'll be on at 8. Dom Giordano will be on after the debate tonight to take your calls. And we should also be able to have the whole thing on social media for you as well as we do it. Beleni will be monitoring social media throughout the course of the show today. And you should, you know, weigh in on Twitter or Facebook. Hey, Stalker, what is on my cut sheet today, as a matter of fact?
Yes. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We have that.
I catch you off guard there?
Well, yesterday you told me you were going to go to me at a certain time, so I just wanted to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Greg, I'm going to go to you at 7:51.
Okay. We have
hang
NPR.
On. Hang on.
Wait. All right.
7:51 and 40 seconds. Hang on. Hang on. Hey. Now, Greg, what's on my cut sheet?
So you've been talking the last few days about this NPR story about candy chutes and how they can save Halloween. You know, people put chutes and they drop the candy down. Well, we actually have the NPR report on it. Lulu Garcia Navarro is the person who is narrating this NPR riveting report.
Well, you know, Greg, I love the riveting NPR. I really do love that. Should we take a little bit listen of the candy chutes, how they can save Halloween? What's that?
I would love to, yes.
Yeah, candy chutes, how they can save Halloween during the coronavirus pandemic with Lulu Garcia Navarro hosting. Brace yourselves, kids. This is going to get rocky.
Well, I don't know about groups rocky, but
children going door to door, yelling trick or treat, and adults leaning over to hand them candy. It is the spooky season, but it's also a COVID perfect storm. And so it looked like the pandemic was going to ruin Halloween this year, but not if resourceful families that we see posting online have any say in the matter.
So this is our masterpiece for trick-or-treating.
Introducing the candy chute. It's at least 6 feet long and can deliver candy to trick-or-treaters through a tube or pipe. Yes, you can buy them off Amazon now, but what's the fun in that? You can make one too.
Cost me $8 for kids' happiness.
Stop it for a second.
I figured what?
If you're driving to work and you're listening to this on your way to work, how boring are you? Like, honestly.
Yeah.
Is that how you want to start your day? Freaking bored out of your mind? I'm just saying, I don't know how anybody listens to this, and I don't know how my tax dollars fund it either. How boring candy chutes. This should be an 8-second story. I know what a tube is. They're putting candy down a tube. 8 seconds. Done. Why are they doing what? How long is this news package?
3 minutes.
3 minutes of a candy chute, Bill. 3 minutes, Dawn, of a candy friggin' chute.
That's unheard of.
It should be 10 seconds. Ready? You put the candy in the chute, goes down the chute, goes into the kids' hands. Next story.
Stories on trick-or-treating should be as long as each house you go to takes to get the candy.
That's still too long, in my opinion. But yet, I got to keep listening because it's so boring I can't turn it off, Greg.
Well, I mean, this is like, this is the elite, you know, so people can drive to work and they can talk around the water cooler about, yes, did you hear NPR this morning and the the candy chute. I think it's a fabulous idea.
My as you're social distancing at the water cooler.
Yeah.
So we made a candy chute over the weekend. Did you make one too? Yes, we did. With recyclable organic cardboard. We would hate for the candy to go down through a non-organic means.
Get red dye number 2 on it.
Yes. It's a pre-washed organic cardboard. It was a fair trade cardboard and our candy chute. We also decorated it with the heroes work here, and thanks to our frontline workers. And because you see those signs popping up everywhere now?
Yes.
They're the new hate has no home here signs. They're usually right next to a Joe Biden sign. So, yes, in our candy shoot, we thank frontline workers, and we wrote, we're all in this together. And we measured it as probably 6 feet, 2 inches. I had to shave a little off there. It was originally longer than this.
And by the way, I don't know Lulu Garcia Navarro.
Sure I do. She's boring as hell in real life, too.
I'm just saying, I'm sure she's a lovely woman. But can you imagine getting this assignment and being like this is what, like, I have to do a news package on
Lulu,
this?
Lulu, listen, we don't want you to worry about the election, the president having COVID, the economy. Go pursue candy chutes. Go find people making cardboard tubes and putting candy down them. And make it riveting and really dramatic. Like, this is the answer to COVID-19. Like, vaccine? Don't need it. Got a candy chute. And she does, I mean, to her credit, she does make it a little bit, like, her voice is all peppy, you know? But this year, there's a way. Candy chutes. Family fun for everybody. If I got to sit around and make a candy chute with my kids, that means I am in a coma. Yes. And I am at the hospital and under anesthesia because I can't think of anything worse.
But to your point, truthfully, as a writer and storyteller, she needed to start with the kids talking about how they've been locked up. The story is the kids and the families who just feel like they'll do freaking anything to be able to celebrate. She's missing the story and she's telling it all wrong.
I'm just saying. Yes, I agree with you, Dawn. I like your angle, but how about this angle? Ready? Yes. How about this?
Oh boy.
It's Halloween night.
Oh no.
You hand candy to a kid. He grabs your arm and breathes into your face, giving you COVID. You drop dead. Or you put your candy down a candy chute. Hey! Honestly, I think that also grabs you, Dawn. What do you think?
Zioli telling it like that, yes.
Or how about this, Dawn? Ready?
Best ever.
You have a 6-foot-long tube. You thought about beating your children since you've been locked in the house with them for months, but instead, you make a candy chute! Yay! You like that angle, too? That's another way to do it.
Or you could have, like, Hershey's giving away a prize to which kid and family made the best candy chute.
You could do it like this. Ready? You hand candy to a stranger. The child looks up and realizes that that stranger is, in fact, not a friend he hasn't met yet, but a pedophile. No, or put the candy down a chute and call it a day. Pedophiles can't reach 6 feet. Well, I mean, you could do it like tie in the pedophile thing, too, you know?
Love that.
Or you know this, ready? That. No more razor blades and candy, because the candy chute 2000 will take the razor blades out.
What, does it have a magnet inside?
Yeah, it has exactly. It's... pulls the razor blades out of the candy as it goes down the chute.
I love it.
Keep going with this stupid NPR story here, please. No,
I will go ahead and buy that PVC pipe.
That's reporter Neil Augenstein of WTOP Radio in Washington, D.C. He recently made one of his own. But first, he had to get the most vital ingredient, the candy.
Hang on, stop. I like the PVC pipe thing, and I'm going to call up a plumber and be like, yes, hi. Can I buy a PVC pipe? Can I hire you to make me something? Yeah, what do you need? You got a toilet that's leaking, or you need a water pipe, or what? No, I'm making a candy chute, and I need a PVC pipe with a flushing mechanism so I can flush the candy to click. Yeah, I'll make you a candy chute. I'll be right over. I'll be right there to make you a candy chute with my PVC. Yeah, we'll flush it. No problem. I'll put a little fan on there too, an exhaust fan. How about that?
Hey, Jimmy, this guy wants a candy chute.
Yeah, Jimmy, we got the PVC candy chutes back there. Yeah, all right. Yeah, we'll be over in an hour. We'll put a high end filter, like this way the thing in the air can't come back, reverse osmosis and whatnot. All right, we'll be over in 10 minutes. PVC pipe.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
It costs $1.30 at Lowe's.
Yeah, $1.30 at Lowe's, but you know.
Well, that's because cardboard, what if it's rainy Halloween night?
Yeah, true.
Get all soggy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Jimmy, this guy, his candy chute's all limp. We got something hard we can give him for his candy chute?
We don't need, come on.
He can't keep his candy chute up, Jimmy. Jimmy, this guy, candy chute's hanging down. He says because it got wet. He's doing the Costanza thing. I don't know. I'm not buying it. Go ahead, Bill.
This is a candy. So there were Almond Joys, there were Hershey bars, there were Kit Kats, and there were my favorites, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
And so with his PVC pipe festively decorated and secured to the porch stair railing, Augustine set out to test it with his daughter.
I started first with the thinnest of the candies, which was a little Hershey bar.
We're going to test the candy chute now. Stop it. My tax dollars pay for this. I want to point this out to you. So now it's not enough to do the story on the candy chute. Now we got to test it.
Got it.
It's candy going down a freaking pipe. How is this even worthy of a test? And my favorite, I love Hershey's. I love Milky Way. My favorite, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. The question is, can I get a peanut butter cup through a PVC pipe?
They're already very... there's plenty of room.
Yeah, it's a PVC pipe, man. You can get, hey, Jimmy, get the extra large PVC pipe for this moron who thinks he can put peanut butter cups down there. Let's hear how the test goes, shall we? Go ahead.
Yes. I dropped it in there. Whoosh. Zoomed right down. But when we got to the Reese's peanut butter cup, it was too thick to slide down easily.
Got stuck. Got to call a plumber. Got to plunge it. Keep going.
I was very concerned that it would get caught halfway through. I decided to take all of the Reese's peanut butter cups out. And
I want this guy building rockets for us. I want this guy working on the next Aegis missile system. You know what I mean? Guy's a genius. Go ahead.
Those are my favorites of them.
Chris Miner of Ashland, Virginia, also got in on the candy shoot action.
I have tested a lot of candies, the M&Ms and the Sour Patch Kids, you know, all my favorites, you know, Snickers and Milky Ways and that kind of thing. And pretty much they all work great. But the good news is apples and oranges will not fit down the pipe. So you don't have to worry about my house being one of those ones where you're going to get, you know, fruit for Halloween.
I want to beat him with a 6-foot PVC pipe. See, if I had that assignment, Don, this is what would happen to me. I would take it. Can I see that pipe? Can I borrow that for a second? I'd beat him to death with it. I would. I go, this is my life? This is my life. I went to journalism school to interview people at freaking candy shoots.
Well, I found that the peanut butter cup got jammed in. So then what I did was I built an emergency release system for the peanut butter cups. And then I
want these people on Operation Warp Speed. We'll get a vaccine in the year 4,912.
Better late than ever.
Stuart and Easton would like to weigh in on the candy shoot. Yes, Stuart.
Good morning, Rich. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Don't even let them near your house because COVID.
Right.
Slingshot.
I like that. That's genius, actually. Yeah.
Stand on the sidewalk, rig up surgical tubing and a little bit of leather and say, act like a seal and launch it.
Yeah, Stuart, that's brilliant. Line. Do not cross this line. And then, you know, you might hit some kids and that's part of the fun, right?
Well, yeah, and when you get the annoying teenagers that just show up in whatever they're wearing at the time.
Just slingshot the hell out of them and teach them a lesson about Halloween, right?
Yeah, lunch, potatoes, lunch, whatever you want.
I love it. Thank you, Stuart. It's a great idea. I think it's great. Bill, are we done with this nonsense or is it still going?
There's about 20 seconds
20 left. Seconds left. We got to go to another person for their thoughts on their candy shoot. Go ahead.
It was growing up.
Matt Thompson of Garden City, Michigan, came up with a totally candy.
See what I was joking. I didn't know, but sure enough, now we got to go to Michigan to find out how their candy shoots operate in the heartland.
It's a swing state.
Yeah, well, right exactly, yeah. Greg. How the swing state of Michigan is handling their candy shoots.
System. The candy zip line. A ghost shoots down the cable to the street, delivering not only pieces of candy to trick-or-treaters, but also two cans of Bud Light to their parents. Maybe the coronavirus won't scare Halloween away after all.
Wow, that was quite the wrap on that was great, huh? Love that. So now we're going to get beer from strangers. All right.
I mean, just a little levity there, Rich. You know, just
I like
a little.
It, Greg.
And end on a joke, you know, end on a high note, leave them laughing, leaving them. Want more.
When she sends the package to her editor, I thought I'd go out on a high note with the guy giving out alcohol to people. And then the follow-up story will be massive drunk deaths in Michigan. Darlene says, well, my candy shoot is better than yours. Mine has a UVB light. So there, Dawn, many people are incorporating your UV ultraviolet light system into the candy shoot. So...
So
there you go.
You got safe shooting. Safe, stiff candy shooting. Say that 10 times fast.
Yeah, exactly. Lori's and Ringo's. Lori, good morning.
This is a classic example of life imitating art. Everybody remembers the SNL skit where they have NPR radio hosts interviewing Alec Baldwin. And
Shreddy
I thought it was a candy company where it made popcorn balls, sweaty balls, and he's talking about that. So I think candy shoots and sweaty balls go together.
You're right. Lori, thank you. I agree with you. It's life imitating art or the other way around. I don't know. It's hard to say. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. That check-in on social media, by the way, is brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter, and go see them on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. 0% financing right now on all 2020 and 2021 models. We were talking earlier about crowd sizes at sports and whether or not you'd go see a game outside. I certainly would because I think it'll be fine. But what do you think? What would you do? Either way, if you like football, no one does football like FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. And if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, here's something you don't want to miss. Right now, new users can get an exclusive plus 1,500 odds boost on either team, Pittsburgh or Philadelphia, for this weekend's Inter-Pennsylvania matchup. That's right. Bet $10 to win $150 on either team to win. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, incredible odds are just the beginning. They got a simple app, live betting on every game, and once you win, they get you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. So if you've never tried FanDuel Sportsbook, it's time to get off the sidelines and bet on football or any of the other major sporting events happening right now. So download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Use promo code RICH, R-I-C-H, to make your first deposit. Claim your exclusive plus 1,500 odds boost on either team. That's promo code RICH. FanDuel Sportsbook, more ways to win. You must be 21 and older. Present New Jersey or Pennsylvania. New users only. Must wager on designated boost market. Deposit required. Max bonus 150. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're listening to 60 Minutes of Nonstop Talk. The Rich Cioli Show. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. WPHT HD. WOGL HD3. Philadelphia. Live from the Malamud & Associates Law Studios.
Now, the other thing, too, is that as I was watching CNN yesterday, or listening to CNN as I was cleaning up my garage, I heard the craziest segment, and there's a lot of crazy segments on CNN, but it was nuts listening to Woodward, the lesser Woodward and Bernstein, Carl Bernstein, on with Wolf Blitzer, and they were discussing the 25th Amendment and what would happen if they had if the president couldn't do his job anymore. And then on MSNBC, Lawrence O'Donnell panicking out of his mind because the president is having a Twitter roid rage. Just really nutty stuff. So first of all, let's begin, shall we, with CNN here. What if Trump, Pence, and Pelosi are all too sick to govern? On CNN's Situation Room, cut 3.
President Trump's doctor says he's doing, quote, extremely well. His vital signs, stable. But America's top voice on the pandemic warns Trump could have a setback.
Sometimes when you're 5 to 8 days in, you could have a reversal. His physicians know a reversal, meaning going in the wrong direction and get into trouble.
Trump's doctors have not revealed information from a scan of his lungs. He's on a steroid, which experts say could mask some dangerous symptoms and suppress the immune system. And there are questions about the president's mental state following his bizarre display on the Truman balcony and his tweet yesterday telling Americans don't be afraid of COVID.
If they don't put the brakes on, what's the next tweet going to be? What's the next decision that's going to come out of this?
One Trump aide says the staging on the balcony was designed to show strength to the American people and America's allies. But with all the questions being raised about whether President Trump is healthy enough to lead, another key question arises tonight. If he gets too sick to govern, what happens next?
There is a real question of whether or not if real existing responsible leadership prevailed, whether or not the 25th Amendment would be invoked to turn over the powers of the presidency to Vice President Mike Pence.
The first
now
step
let's stop
would
it for a second. See, I personally, I'm glad we're hearing about the 25th Amendment again because I miss. Is it 25th Amendment bad? I miss that famous stinger we used to play on the show all the time from the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos asking if it was 25th Amendment bad to the guy who wrote that book, who would then tell the stories of the water cooler conversations where he'd go, people were standing around going, it's bad, but is it 25th Amendment bad? So is it 25th Amendment bad or not? The president on steroids tweeting furiously is now back into the national zeitgeist. Well, I'm so glad about that. Go ahead, Bill.
Determine whether President Trump is incapacitated. According to the 25th Amendment of the Constitution, Trump could make that determination himself.
He can notify Congress, the House and Senate, that he is going to be incapacitated because he'll be sedated on a ventilator. And until he says so, that the powers of his office would be transferred to Mike Pence, who would serve as acting president, until the president's health improved.
But what if the president is so sick and incoherent that he can't make the determination himself to hand over power? The 25th Amendment says Pence and the cabinet can essentially take it from him, or a supermajority of Congress could.
Take it.
Pence has so far tested negative for coronavirus, and his doctor says he's in good health. But COVID has infiltrated the White House, and President Trump has been in close contact with Pence. If Pence gets the virus and becomes incapacitated, next in line to be acting president would be the Trump team's political arch rival, Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
I don't think.
Can I stop it for a second? And I want to make a point here. Are we going to have a conversation about how this virus started with a bat and Nancy Pelosi may become president at the end of the day because of this virus? Are we going to talk about this or what, America? Are we going to have this conversation or what? This virus probably started in a bat and Pelosi may end up becoming president because of it. You don't see what I see.
Follow, connect the dots, follow the...
If you just connect the dots here, people... It went from horseshoe bat to vampiric bat in the White House. I'm sorry. That is a jumping a species like I've never seen before. My cousin. I'm just thinking about her cousin, the horseshoe bat. My cousin horseshoe. We had a plan in place. Like when she writes her, after she's done being president, the whole plan was simple. Horseshoe was going to get loose. We hope somebody would capture him as a pet. Unleash his virus and then I would be president. I'd get put in the White House.
Yep.
It's genius.
Plan. Yep.
Why have we not seen this before? We've talked about whether or not it was an accidental thing at the lab. We've talked about the wet markets. We never talked about if Cousin Horseshoe was going to get loose to become somebody's pet.
It's always Cousin Horseshoe.
Cousin Horseshoe Bat. I said horsey. Need you to do a favor for me. I'm amazed that at the end of the day, the woman I've been calling the vampiric one for years, and for years I've been making vampire bat jokes that literally in the Oval Office, I brought up the bat reference to the president that she may end up in the White House after all because of a virus that lives in a bat. This is probably the most revealing day of my entire career, by the way.
It's like the shades have finally come up. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's like I finally got the pill, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm seeing reality now.
Yeah,
it's like the Matrix.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been unplugged from the Matrix.
Yeah, now I see what's actually going on here. Go ahead, Bill. Keep going.
They'd find a way around it, possibly the Secretary of State, someone in the Republican line, either the elective line in the Senate or the cabinet line would take over. It's just untenable. And Nancy Pelosi would recognize that as well.
If Pelosi is bypassed or doesn't want the job.
Of course I want the job, you idiot. Why do you think Horsey and I made this happen? Cousin Horseshoe, it's Nance. I'm just... Why would I not want the job, you moron? I went through all this work to get him out of the cave and into the wet market. Why would I not want it now?
It's not an easy job.
It took a lot of work.
It did.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't. I guess it just entertains myself. MSNBC also went with the crazy last night. Lawrence O'Donnell, Crazy Larry, took a break from yelling at people to stop hammering. And now it's Trump is panicking. He's on steroids. He's roid raging. Cut six.
Well, as Donald Trump's Twitter feed tells us tonight, it is very, very likely that the president of the United States is panicking. And this time he is panicking on steroids. Donald Trump is confronting two sets of numbers tonight, each of which is enough to panic a person whose physical and mental health we now know to be unstable. The first set of numbers he's been staring at all day are enough to sicken him almost as much as the coronavirus. The new CNN national presidential poll of likely voters shows Donald Trump falling far behind Joe Biden in a poll completed after America discovered that Donald Trump's irresponsibility has infected him and an increasing number of the White House staff, which tonight includes Stephen Miller, with coronavirus. The CNN poll shows that 63% of Americans say Donald Trump's irresponsibility led to his infection and the infection of people around him.
So the president's panicking on steroids. Get it? Panicking on steroids. By the way, a clip that you're not really going to talk with the media, you're not going to hear much of the media, is a clip from Joe Biden, which I'm going to play in a second. But wrapping up the crazy, on Tuesday's MSNBC Rachel Maddow show, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, reacted to the president announcing that he's calling off coronavirus relief by again invoking the steroids. Cut five.
I don't think that we should be making any large political decisions when the president is such is in such a perilous medical state. He is still receiving interventions and treatments, and we're in the middle of talking about and making dramatic decisions about what is happening with the COVID stimulus. Not only that, but he's also directly conflicting himself today. He retweeted the federal chairman, Jerome Powell, which is saying that Congress cannot do enough when it comes to critical economic indicators like inflation. When we're looking at joblessness, the Fed is basically telling us that there is no program too big that we could authorize. We cannot effectively spend enough right now.
I guess the question too is, should we invoke that rule if somebody's like on NyQuil or something like that, or on, there's so many different drugs that you could be on that theoretically you shouldn't make large decisions on. They even say, question you when you sign contracts. I mean, if that's the standard, I got to wonder that, but then doesn't it kind of make it seem reasonable to argue that we should drug test people before things like debates and serving as president? Which the media mocked Trump for suggesting about Biden, a week ago? Anyway, I just find that interesting. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. USA Insulation, do what I did, which is to have them come to your home and inject their premium foam insulation directly into your walls. From the outside, you'll notice, just like I did, how your utility bills will go down. And maybe you're in the position right now where you're thinking, man, these utility bills have gone up. It's crazy, right? I get it. USA Insulation will solve that problem for you, because when you've got a home that's well insulated, it keeps the warm air you're paying for to heat your home inside your home where it belongs. In my case, we had such low energy insulation. It was all going through the walls, up through the attic. Furnace was running constantly. The house was never comfortable. Right now, you can save $1,000 on a whole home insulation, get a tax credit for up to $500, and then they're going to match that with a $500 early bird discount. So, even in normal times, look, we're spending more time in our homes, but now with this, because COVID, we're going to be in our homes a lot this winter. Make sure it's comfortable. 267-551-1900, 267-551-1900, or usainsulation.net, usainsulation.net.
You're in the middle of 60 minutes of non-stop talk. This is the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Greg, could you do me a favor and explain cut number four to me? Because I'm a little bit unclear about cut number four.
So Joe Biden was out at, I don't exactly know where it is because it's only a 16-second cut. But you don't really need any more reference to, like, it looks like he's out in a schoolyard. I assume he's speaking to younger kids. At a campaign stop somewhere, and the cut kind of speaks for itself, even if it only is 16 seconds.
Cut four, please.
Good news is, for me, I'm here. The bad news for you is, I'm coming back. And I want to see these beautiful young ladies. I want to see them dancing when they're 4 years older, too. So it's great to see you.
Yeah, I don't know. In the clip, you can't really see how old the girls.
Yeah, I saw the picture on the internet. They're young.
Yeah.
That's creepy. That's when you go, okay, creepy old guy, thank you.
I don't know what he meant. I don't know what he meant by that. I mean,
I assume he meant when he's reelected and not when they're legal.
Yeah. I understand where he was going, but he didn't. I mean, the phrasing of this is just horrendous.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of conversation about that. No doubt about that, I'm sure. Wow. Okay, awkward. Yeah. Whew.
I mean, you know.
I'll come back and see these girls dance again in 4 years. By then they'll be of the age of consent in most states anyway.
What's that, 16? I don't know.
I think so. I'm sorry, but
again, I get what he was going for, but like the phrasing of it is just not,
Yeah, it just sounded.
You have to be careful when.
You gotta watch that kind of stuff, right?
Preteen girls.
You just got to watch that stuff. The president has launched a lawsuit in Philadelphia, and a judge is considering the lawsuit now, campaign lawsuit. Linda Kearns, who's a very smart attorney, she's a buddy. She runs Broad and Liberty, and she's great. And she just wants transparency. That's all she wants with this is transparency. The president's campaign has challenged these Philadelphia satellite election offices in court. They're arguing that they should have the right to observe what happens inside these locations when voters request and submit mail ballots. Trump campaign lawyer Linda Kearns accused the city commissioners who run elections of twisting Pennsylvania state law to open the satellite offices and allow voting to happen outside of public view. What Linda said was, no one's asking to interrupt the process. All we're asking to do is shine a light on it. You know, I have to tell you, I've been involved in politics since I was a teenager, and I've been a challenger, as it's known. So what a challenger is you're allowed to be in the polling place, and Democrats get challengers and Republicans get challengers. And you can challenge whether or not a voter should be allowed to vote. You can cast a challenge. And this is, both sides do this, and it's important to do. It's part of the process. It's done for election integrity. And it's also done to defend people's right to vote, by the way, too. So you could have somebody show up and they say, oh, you're not registered to vote. And they go, no, I'm going to challenge that. I think that they are, in fact, allowed to vote. And I want them to do a conditional ballot until we can go before a judge and have the judge count that ballot. It's a very important part of the process. What Linda Kearns is saying here is that you have these satellite election offices. And if we can't have anybody in there, and by the way, both campaigns should be allowed access. Both campaigns should be allowed to know what's going on there. You shine a light on it. The Trump campaign sued Philadelphia last week after the city opened the offices where people can register to vote, apply for mail ballots, fill them out, and return them. It was the latest attempt by Trump and his allies to, ready? This is the Inquirer now with their bias, undermine public confidence in the 2020 election. I got a question for the Inquirer. Or a question for anybody who thinks this is not a good idea. What would happen if, say, you had an election place in an area of, like, a big old racist area, and black voters came in to vote, and the people there said, no, you're not registered. We don't see your name on here. No, that signature doesn't match. And nobody was there to challenge that and defend their right to vote. What do you think? And would that be okay, you think? Just let these good old boys run the polling place? Because a big reason why we have election challengers is actually so that we can ensure that the civil rights of every American on election day counts and you're allowed to vote. So is that's throwing doubt into the election, or is that just making sure that people have a right to be able to vote and that we have a light shined on that so the process is legitimate? City officials maintain the new offices are not polling locations and therefore official poll watchers are not permitted under the law. The Trump campaign hadn't even applied to have official poll observers approved when it sent representatives to the satellite offices. Whether you call it a satellite office or you call it an election office, or whatever, if voting's happening there, you should have election watchers. Both campaigns should have, and they should demand them, by the way, because everybody deserves to ensure that there's somebody there who will challenge if their vote is accepted or if there's somebody who should not be voting there. It's just common sense. So good for Linda Kearns for fighting that fight. Just wants transparency. All they're asking for. It's not that much to ask. Don, I noticed you were very quiet as I was discussing Nancy Pelosi's cousin, Horsey.
Well, the horseshoe, well, yeah. I mean,
I understand. Catholic grandmother. Go ahead.
Know, Catholic. It's a sin.
It's a sin.
Catholic grandmother. She's got to get her blowout and her hair done, just like the rest of us.
Just like the rest of
Vampire
us.
Vampire or not.
I get it. So what's going on today in the world, huh?
Oh, my goodness. So Zioli Show News Lives, and we have 59 degrees right now. I'll have the forecast in just a moment. Philadelphia Mayor Jim Kenney reportedly filing a lawsuit today to allow lawmakers here to enact stricter gun laws within the city limits. They've tried this before. The mayor blames the historically high homicide rate right now, blames that on all the guns. Governor Wolf's new rules to allow larger crowds.
Why does he blame them on all the criminals using the guns?
It's not their fault. It's the guns. That's what he says.
I'm just wondering, you know, why he can't blame the people shooting the guns.
No, nope, not their fault.
Not their fault. They'd be using candy chutes if they didn't have guns.
Governor Wolf's new rules to allow larger crowds and gatherings outside and inside take effect this Friday, except for the city of Philadelphia, which says, maybe next week. And we have a case of cruelty against fired prison guards in Oklahoma. So investigators have found that these guys forced inmates to stand handcuffed for hours and listen to the children's song Baby Shark.
Okay, that is absolutely a violation of the Eighth Amendment against cruel and unusual punishment.
Agreed.
That is absolutely wrong. I don't care what you did. That's too much of a punishment.
At least four inmates secured to a wall with their hands cuffed behind them while the song played on a loop.
Bill, if you play that, I'm going to beat you with a candy chute. Don't even think about it.
Oh, come on.
Don't even think. I'll beat you with a candy chute. I'll beat you to death. Everybody heard it.
I love that you read my mind, though.
I know. I knew exactly what you were doing, too. I started Valetti. I was going to the computer like, freeze!
The best part of that story is just the prosecutor saying, if I could charge you with a felony, I would.
Yeah, like, and
they're
the prosecutor,
so serious.
Prosecutor's right. Those prison guards should be charged.
Yes.
Literally, the prisoners were like, kill me. Execute me. Bring me to old Sparky. Just make it stop.
So
my kids, you know, they torture me with that song,
yes,
too. Claire got a book, like a Baby Shark book, and it plays a song. And they, what they do is I keep moving it. They find it, and then they play it, and they run around the house playing it, knowing that I'm going to go crazy. They do that. They torture me with it.
So that's Rich, the reason.
Rich, as a first-time dad, can you give me any tips on how to avoid that with my child?
Yeah, if someone gives you a gift containing Baby Shark, throw it out.
Away. Yeah.
You throw
can't,
it out.
The other one you haven't
got. Let your kids
yet.
Listen to Van Halen. Don't let them listen to Baby Shark.
Peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter. Or what does the fox say?
Oh,
whoa,
God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, just wait. That's next.
Yeah, but none of those are nearly as annoying as Baby Shark. I mean, prison guards were like, well, we could take him out in the courtyard and we could shoot him or play Baby Shark.
Yes.
Well, that's way worse. It was
Please.
Like the whole, you're Andy Dufresne in Shawshank.
Yeah.
Give me the whole, just don't play Baby Shark.
Please. So Princeton, New Jersey. Princeton University officials have finally agreed to pay nearly $1.2 million to women professors after the feds found that the men professors earned more. So this has been going on for a decade, this lawsuit, and Princeton finally agreed to settle it. They say they never discriminated against women. They said the pay differences could be explained by differences between the departments. In other words, job performance and the job market for top-tier professors. And they say there's a big difference between, like, the knitting professor, the physics professor, and the English professor. But the federal government, this is the feds, saying, nope, you discriminated. So they said, well, we're not going to admit to wrongdoing, but we'll just reach a deal. We'll finally settle it. So the lady professors get $1.2 million, Princeton University. Penn State football announcing fans can buy cutouts of themselves for the season. This is Beaver Stadium.
Oh, Millennial.
You're
going to do this, Millennial? You're a Penn State grad.
Yeah. I would like to see if they're going to now be able to go in the stadium, but I'll do the cardboard cutout.
All right. What do they cost on, do you know?
Yeah. I need to know the price.
I don't know.
We are getting ripped off.
I have a certain limit.
Probably 50 bucks. I'll check.
Still in student loan debt.
Going viral. I love this video.
Bill,
I love
we're going to chip in and buy you a cardboard cutout.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
The millennial gift.
Yeah.
Bradley Cooper, Pennsylvania native, encouraging people in Pennsylvania to vote. So he made this new video. It's gone viral. And I don't see him endorsing anybody. He just says, get out the vote and here are the do's and don'ts. So I thought that was interesting. I've seen a lot of people talking about that. And finally, Mars is closer to Earth than ever before. So if you look up and you see that red star up there, it's Mars. And the next time, so all through October, we'll be seeing Mars. The next time we'll see Mars this close to Earth will be in 2035. And I just wanted to get you to think about the fact baby Reagan will be just getting her learner's permit.
Well, hopefully we'll be living on Mars by then. It's my hope. By the way, did you see that Bill Murray Zoom bombed an interview?
Oh, so good.
This is my favorite story of the day, by the way. So Robert Wolf, who's a Fox News contributor, was doing an interview on Fox Business, right? And he had just been golfing with Bill Murray.
Yep.
So Bill Murray's on his couch because Robert Wolf said he forgot about the interview. So he goes to do the interview. And as they're doing the interview, you can see Bill Murray sitting behind him on the couch.
He's like reading the newspaper or something.
He's like hysterical. Reading the newspaper.
Yeah.
That's just the coolest thing. Yeah, I'm just golfing with Bill Murray and he's still here. I forgot about my Zoom interview, so I got to jump on.
Bill Murray's a national treasure.
He really is. He really is, right? Oh, speaking of which, I saw that they're doing the new Ghostbusters, which I'm sure will be pushed off to the year, you know, 2097. But is this supposed to be a comedy or what is the new Ghostbusters movie supposed to be? Do you know?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a comedy.
Is it?
Because I think it's bringing back at least Aykroyd and Murray.
The trailer doesn't look funny, but... And you also heard now that another movie got kicked off till 2022. Which movie is that now?
That was the third in the latest Jurassic Park series. The Jurassic
with your
World.
Buddy Chris Pratt, Dawn.
Yeah.
Love him.
And so People's that movie choice. Will be out in 2022, which by then, dinosaurs may actually be back.
That's actually why they're delaying it. They're working on actually bringing back dinosaurs.
At this point now, they've actually found a way to make them with the DNA. So
we don't need the movie anymore.
Oh, man. All right. Sorry.
I love it. Ghostbusters remake.
Ghostbusters.
It'll be a good one. Remember the last? I like the all women one.
Nobody,
but it wasn't as good.
No one, oh, come please! On,
nobody liked that.
But remember, it was at Movie Tavern with the wine. Horrible. Okay, just saying.
That's why. So. Just let good things stay good and don't try and remake them.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you.
Unless you have wine in a reclining seat. Okay. The NBC 10 First Alert forecast today: sunny, summer-like, 78 degrees today, but very breezy. 30-mile-an-hour winds this afternoon. Tomorrow, though, we cool back down, 66 degrees. And sunny. Friday, bright skies, 70 degrees. And then Saturday, there's a little chance for some spotty showers, 73. And Sunday, kind of the lesser weekend day because there is a greater chance of showers, but still low to mid-70s. I'm Dawn, Zioli Show News Live.
Thank you, Dawn. Tonight is the vice presidential debate. I'll chat with you about that in just a moment. I want to know if you are watching tonight, 855-839-1210. I also want to tell you now that life is getting back to normal, Amstar Medical Transportation will get you there safely. Tony, along with his sister Marion and her husband Alan, are the owners and great partners of the program. They're going to get you or your loved ones to medical appointments, non-emergency hospital procedures, or even family events. It's a family-owned business. You can tell by how much they care. The entire staff is respectful. Now, when it comes to this kind of transportation, right, you want to make sure it's compassionate and safe. Well, Amstar Medical Transportation provides that true door-through-door service. They ensure the patient's dressed for the weather, help them out of the house, secure them safely in the vehicle, help them check into their appointment, and stay with them if needed. Amstar Medical's vehicles are always incredibly clean and well-maintained. They're also experienced at transporting children with special needs, and here's the best part. Amstar Medical Transportation features the best rates in the area. So, book online at AmstarMedicalTransport.com. They offer discounts to veterans, to first responders, and to you, AmstarMedicalTransport.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.